Let us have a word of prayer before we start. Oh, Father, I just pray that Thou wilt bless us in this afternoon. And I thank Thee that Thou dost see each heart and into each heart. And oh, Lord, we long that Thou wilt speak to us, that we may hear Thy voice, that we may be comforted, encouraged, and led further. And oh, Father, that we will draw closer to Thee. And that as we hear Thy voice, we will heed Thy voice and allow Thee to change us and to make us more like Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my subject for today is one of my favorite verses, and it is, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. We're going to read a few scriptures. But different scriptures. Psalm 57 says, "Be merciful unto me, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 62 verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for mine expectation is from him. He only is my rock of salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." And in Psalm 46, we read, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we and not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Now, we all know this verse is a source of deep comfort to many Christians. But before we explain why I say that, let us consider the impact these words will have on an unsaved world. To all who have not surrendered their lives to Christ, who have not accepted his precious gift of salvation held out to them. "Be still, O hardened heart, who has had the benefit of a Christian home, the teaching of the Bible, the warnings that have crossed your path, and yet have not accepted Christ. Do you realize who you are dealing with? Do you realize, are you aware who you are, have hardened your heart against? I am God. Be still and know that I am God." 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, from them that know not God." What does God say? "Be still and know that I am God." In flaming fire of vengeance, the coming of the Lord, God's word warns all that spurn him upon them. His wrath poured. They chose not to obey God. They chose to turn away. What fear, what cries of torment when vengeance falls that day? He'll come to meet our justice. God's condemnation falls. Chances have been wasted. No more love's earnest call. God comes in flaming vengeance. Upon that judgment day, men will cry out in terror as his wrath has full sway. You will not stand before God condemned because you had no choice, but because you resisted his call of love, his appeal of love. Accountable to God, you will stand one awful day. If you, his voice resisted, persisted on your way, sin was your secret pleasure, you stilled God's urgent voice, continually resisting, oh soul, you sealed your choice. You'll call unto the mountains, you'll call unto the hills, to cover your confusion as fear your being fills. Too late, oh stubborn sinner, to turn to God, repent. No mercy at the judgment. To hell you will be sent. What an awful warning to the lost when God says, while there is time, be still and know that I am God. God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Psalm 95. Be still, know that I am God. Surely, knowing that I am God, you will seek me and find me. Be still, my soul. Know he is God who sees your very heart. The sin with it in it hidden, no covered, unseen part. Be still, my soul. He loves you. He died to set you free, to cleanse you and to pardon. He suffered Calvary. Be still and see his love reach down to your very soul. Accept his love, forgiveness, that he can make thee whole. However, the full impact of this verse, be still and know that I am God, came to me as a child of God, and it has been a coping mechanism for me as a Christian. This verse has helped me over many hurdles, through shocks, through trials and setbacks. And there is a coping mechanism hidden in this verse for every child of God. Be still and know that I am God. We live in a loud world. We live in a rushed world, a demanding and exacting world where we easily feel inadequate. It's a disappointing, a hurting, a cruel, an antagonistic, mocking environment where so many of us find ourselves in, where men love darkness rather than light, where the enemies can be those in our own household, as the Lord Jesus warned himself. And yet, even as individuals in this loud world, despite the bustle around us, we can feel isolated, misunderstood. No one cares for me. No one understands me. No one feels my longings, my hurts, and my heartache. Everybody is too busy in this busy world. And despite the loneliness that we feel, this clatter of the 20th century drowns the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit that is whispering to us, be still and know that I am God. You see, we have to smile through everything. The children's demands, our husband's demands, work's demands, every demand. We've got to smile and retain our testimony. How do we do it? How can we do it? The secret lies in these words, be still and know that I am God. Why do I say that? He is not a disappointment. That is the first thing. People have disappointed me, as I'm sure they've disappointed you. But he will never be a disappointment. And what a comfort it is as a Christian when we are disappointed to know that he will never fail us. He is always the same. He is unchangeable. He is true to his word. He whispers to us, be still and know that I am God, that all things work together if you love me and obey me. Remember Hannah? When was Hannah comforted? When she went to her husband Elkanah and said, please help me? No, She was comforted when she went into the temple and she became still before God. Where did Daniel go to find help? Who did he turn to? Who did he rest his confidence in? In God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego heard the drums rolled and peer pressure like an iron hand wanted to push them into a bending position, where did they find strength to resist? In God and God alone. Think of poor Elijah in terror for his life. Despite all God had done for the past, he's running and he hides in the cave. And there's noises around, but it's in the stillness. In that still voice, the Lord, God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you so scared? Have you forgotten the rock of your strength? Have you lost your confidence in God? What are you doing here, Elijah? Be still and know that I am God. I am in control. Remember the terrified disciples clinging to the side of the boat? The waves were getting higher and higher and they screamed for the Lord Jesus to wake up. What were the serene words the Lord Jesus said to the waves? Be still. But he's actually saying to the disciples, be still. No, I am God. And in the storms of life when we are overwhelmed, the Psalm 61 verse 2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And it, in other words, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, my child, consider that I alone am God. I see your intense conflict where you, your poor feet have trod. I know of your confusion, your constant question, why? But I am at your side, child. No, I am standing by. When your strength is exhausted, when you cry, Lord, no more, I lift you in my arms, child. My love upon you pour. Be still, I am your God, child, the never-failing one. Take courage and look up, child, till you your crown have won. Now what if you say, dear Lord, I cannot cope with the demands placed upon me. From early to late, duty calls. It's not the clamor of machinery. It's perhaps not bookwork deadlines, although some of us have to do bookwork and housework. But it's our husband's demands, the children's demands, my parents' demands as a young person, the schoolwork, the cleaning, the cooking. I feel inadequate. I'm incompetent. Be still and know that I am God who will strengthen you. And I'll also give you the wisdom to know how to make plans to manage your time better. God says to every Christian who follows him and obeys him, I can do all things, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He knows the limits of our endurance. He said to the disciples, come apart and rest a while. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are dust. Others may say we're lazy when sometimes we just flop down exhausted and rest. But God understands. He knows exactly how you feel. And what a comfort that is to be still and know that he is the God, the compassionate high priest who understands my frame, who knows how weak I sometimes feel. Be still, O straggler. Be still and know that he who rules the waves is present to help you constantly. Let him help you to manage your day in such a way that you have strength sufficient. Your burdens on him lay. Be wise to not add extras. He cautions, come apart. Rest in your hectic schedule. He whispers to your heart. Sometimes we have to rearrange things. Now, mothers have shared with me often that they feel guilty about the time they spend with their children. They don't see those daily tasks of doing those everyday things as part of God's work. They think home duties keep them away from doing active missionary work. But remember, the Lord Jesus called the children to come to him. The disciples wanted to chase them away. But the Lord Jesus, that time with the children, when he put them on his knee, was very precious to him. It is not unspiritual to play with your children, to laugh with your children, to even play Dutch Blitz with your children, to crawl on the mat with your children. Remember Hannah's little coat? I mean, that was a needlework thing that she did, and yet it was so precious to God that He wrote in His word, His holy word, that Hannah made a coat every year for Samuel. Even the practical needlework things are part of God's work and part of our calling. Many years ago, I spoke on in New York State on to build or not to build, and I've mentioned it time and time again that when Noel and Roy were very little, I got so busy with God's work that I started to feel guilty to spend any time reading and playing with them. But God assured me that I must treasure every moment with them. He wanted me never to feel guilty about the time I read to them and the time I played with them. And I might have shared this poem with you before, but if I want to win their hearts, how can I win their hearts if I don't spend time with them? And these were the thoughts I wrote down. It's the cry of the child to a mom and dad who are so busy that they have no time for their children. It's the regret of the parent when the child is no longer in the home, because that precious time given by God is gone forever. Another time, don't bother, dear, just run and play. Some other day I'll skip and laugh and teach you how to pray. Too much today. Too much each day with laden care, filling the moments everywhere of childhood sorrows, childhood fears, little longings, little tears. Thus years of work and years of gain, fulfillment, climbing, wither straight. Oh, hush the noise and hush the call. Too busy, dear, to hear it all. The lisping laugh, the lisping word, the halting sob no more is heard. The years have flown. I'll never find that precious, priceless other time. We need to know as young mothers that the children are our mission field. The smallest thing we do for them, dressing, telling stories, laughing, playing, is as much the mission field as the unmarried missionary in the darkest regions of the world. Why do I say that? Because the children are our mission field. Be still and know that I am the God who will hold you accountable one day for those that I have placed in your home, in your vicinity, who I've sent across your path. Your life should be an invitation to the lost, an encouragement to seek God, a warning against rejecting Him, opposing Him, resisting Him. Do they realize this? Because they see your eagerness to serve, obey, and follow God? They should become still in their hearts in awareness of God Himself as they watch your lives. But none of us are perfect. Sometimes we do fail, don't we? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Why did God put that in the Bible? I think because sometimes when we do fail, we feel so bad. But we don't have to point them to ourselves. When we try and reach our loved ones and the lost, we are pointing them to Christ and not to ourselves. We cannot drag them into heaven, but through love and perseverance and faith and example, we seek to win them. But we must remember, we are not accountable for their not accepting our warnings and example. But our words, life, example, love, should be making the way easier for them to find and seek God. We are accountable also for our attitude to the lost. Do we have loving concern, passion, and prayer for the lost? Or do we have damning condemnation towards the lost? Is our attitude as the Lord Jesus in love looked at that woman and He said, go and sin no more? Or, you deserve hellfire. What is our attitude? Do we give hope? Or do we create despair? Be still and know that I am God who sees all that you do. Your words and actions, attitude, those you know see it too. Accountable you'll be one day for leading men astray. Your failures and your compromise made them turn from my way. You did not warn them of their need to seek God earnestly. Their soul seemed unimportant. No concern did they see. No warning of their fearful fate, what they were heading to. They stilled my voice. They sealed their choice. Yet I still rebuke you for keeping still, for letting them plunge on without one plea. No word from you to arrest them. Guilty, shamed, you will be. God will hold us accountable for our lifestyle, how we live, and our witness. Be still and know that I am God to whom nothing is impossible. I am omnipotent. And I am the God who, when you pray and pray and pray for, will work on your behalf. Psalm 57 verse 2 says, I will cry unto the Lord Most High, David says, unto God that performeth all things for me. And the God who performs all things for me is an omnipotent, all-powerful God. But we also need to guard against discouragement when we don't see immediate results. When we say, I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't he work now? I mean, he is all powerful. I remember when I was at Bible college, I was praying for an unsaved relative, and I kept phoning my parents and saying, is he saved yet? You know, I'm praying, is he saved yet? Is he saved yet? And I think my poor mother despaired with all these phone calls. I thought God would just immediately, you know, just save him because I had prayed. But God has to deal with a will. And because he has to deal with a will, it sometimes takes years of his bringing conviction on a life. As I said, mentioned to somebody, my granny prayed for my grandpa for 40 years. And after 40 years, he found God. And sometimes we have to wait. But God worketh on our behalf. And we must never lose courage. Even Andrew Murray, one of his sons was saved after his death. So those prayers were not wasted. We look to him, not our own inadequacy, and we trust him and his timing for our loved ones, our friends, our children. Let us become still and not despair at our incompetence, but rather rejoice in his omnipotence. I feel inadequate, O Lord, to lead my little lambs, the children you have given, thy will to understand. Dear Lord, I try to witness to friends who don't know thee, but I do not speak clearly. I failed so miserably. Dear Lord, at work I'm trying to always do what's right, but no one seems to notice my witness as thy light. Dear Lord, I try to please thee, though I am very small. But in the home I feel that I don't mean much at all. Naught that we do is wasted. God sees each effort made. Let us not be despondent. Our eyes on Christ be stayed. But at the same time, it's important to say that as women, we have to be honest about our failures and ask ourselves, why do we fail, or why are we failing constantly? And we first of all need to ask ourselves, are we truly saved? Isn't this continual failure perhaps because God has never really touched and changed our hearts? The outside of the cup looks fairly clean, but we know the inside has not been dealt with. And we know that God is omniscient. He sees into our hearts. Be still and know I'm the God from whom nothing is hidden. So we have to be honest before God. But if we truly save and we know our sins are forgiven, and yet there are times when we have really failed, we have to ask ourselves a very practical question. Do we rest enough? Do we come apart and rest a while? Is the reason perhaps that we fail so constantly not a physical weakness and not a spiritual collapse? Remember again, he is our compassionate, high priest. And he can help us to look at the situation and make practical solutions. To allow ourselves to physically gain strength to cope spiritually. A slow cooker is a wonderful help. An organized list is a wonderful help. Getting members of the family to help us. Be still and know I'm the God who knows your frame, who knows your capability and your limits. God also gives us a way of escape. He says, you will not be tempted above that you're able to bear, but give you a way of escape. If we don't have a way of an escape, we also fail. Now, it could be painting, music, needlework, baking, crafts, working, or even talking to people. When I feel very stressed, it is my Jenny have a cup of tea moment. And I just sit down and I have a cup of tea and I dream and I think and I'm quiet. And that is my coping mechanism, my way of escape, shall I say. Not the coping mechanism, but the way of escape. There's a way of escape for each one of us because each one of us are made differently. There's one lady that says when she gets so stressed out, she goes into the kitchen and she just bakes cookies and cookies and cookies and cookies. And then the whole family have got these tins of cookies and I suppose they all get fat. But that's the way she copes. You see, each one of us knows what helps. And God gives us the wisdom. He's practical. Be still and know that I am God. Who gives you a way of escape, how you can rest. Perhaps in this afternoon, our problem is the criticism that we have suffered, perhaps from the unsaved, perhaps from fellow Christians, and we don't know how to handle it. Dear Lord, I'm criticized. I cannot stand the accusations. I'm in despair. It's so unfair. It's so untrue. Be still, my child. Vengeance is mine. Was I not also accused wrongfully? Have you forgotten that you're in the world? And in the world, we shall have tribulation? You cannot expect an easy road and plain sailing. Your master's footsteps, where did they lead to? They led to the cross. And we are following in our master's footsteps. Christ experienced, the Lord Jesus Christ experienced antagonism, mockery, ridicule. He suffered all that for us. He was deserted by his friends. He was betrayed by one who ate bread with him. Be still and know that I am the God whom the world hates because the world loves darkness rather than light. In Psalm 57, there's a lovely portion. It says, you shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Have you felt like that when people would just swallow you up with their tongue? My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. What does he say? My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will not fear what man can do against me, for God is my refuge, strength and very present help in trouble. What do we do when we criticize unfairly by Christian or non-Christian? We make God our refuge and we commit our hurt to him. God says to us who are crippled and bruised by the onslaughts of the tongue, not only of the world, but fellow Christians, be still. Let me be your refuge. False accusations, ill feelings as we travel along the road of life are the most crippling aspect of following the Lord. But let us take courage, knowing that nothing can happen to us that he does not know of and that he does not have compassion. Be still, my child, despite the storm. You cannot hear, so spent and worn. The turmoil, chaos makes you fear. Stand still. Reflect that I am here. You cannot meet the coming trial. You're lame. You cannot mount the stile. You call. You cry. You sink with fear. Despite the fact that I am near. Be still, my child. Quieten your soul. Be still. Be still. I'm in control. Do not your heart with terror fill the wind, the waves. Dear child, I'll still. Sometimes we say, Lord, how do I deal with rebellious children? I need wisdom. When do I say yes? When do I say no? Now, I know a missionary family, and they had a very wayward boy who went very far astray, and they just didn't know what to say to him because they'd said it all. So they eventually came to the place where they just prayed. They were silent, but they prayed, and they committed him to the Lord. And you know, that rebellious teenager is a fully grown missionary in the mission today. So God can answer prayer, but the wonderful thing is that we as parents or brothers or sisters can bring our loved ones to God in prayer and trust Him that He will work in their hearts and that He will give us the wisdom sometimes not to speak, but just to keep quiet. Oh Lord, I'm frightened as I look at children far from Thee. So many times I warned them, but they rebelled, you see. I shudder at their doings. I fear where they will end. I feel so weak and helpless. Can Thou the heavens rend? Oh, bring them to conviction, unholy in Thy sight. Dear God, in wrath, have mercy and see a mother's plight. Be still, my dear one. I will move heaven, earth, to draw, confront your darlings, whom you have warned from birth. Be still and know that I'm the omnipotent God who can perform all things for you. The greatest joy for a mother is not worldly fame, acclaim, financial success. I've said it before. But children that love God. That's what we long for. And it's so wonderful that we can bring our children that are far off close to Him in prayer. I will be still, my Saviour, as I bring them to Thee, my children who are unsaved, who hurt me constantly. I'll trust Thee to convict them, whatever Thou shouldst choose, to bring them to repentance. Do not a moment lose. I will be still, my Saviour, while Thou dost work unseen. How can I doubt where they are? Thy steps follow unseen. Isn't it wonderful that God hounds them and His love will hound them? Now, some of you may have a haunting past. Things that happened in the past that accuse and belittle you. Be still and know that I am the God who forgives, who cleanses, who forgets, and who makes all things new. Who removes those terrible things from the past as far as the east is from the west. I make all things new. Don't look back. Rather look at me. Be still and know that I am God. People who look back, be it at triumphs or failures, bump themselves and hurt others. Be still. Keep your eyes on me. Satan would have us continually dwelling on the past. Those things that happened in the past, of which we are now so ashamed. But rather, let us become still and rejoice in the fact that He is the God who has forgiven us. Our Lord, the past is haunting me. When I was very small, things happened that have crippled me. Thus I am prone to fall. Be still, my child. Those dreadful things you suffered long ago have made me grieve, compassionate. Each detail, child, I know. But I who can make all things new would have you leave behind your past, your painful memories, and in me courage find. Be still, my child. You know that I have washed away your sin. Be still. Look up the crown ahead that you, my child, must win. Christian, you failed and stumbled upon the narrow way. Be still a moment as my hand stretches your fall to stay. Repent, and I will help you do not fail thus again. I can forgive and cleanse sin, remove each sordid stain. But are your eyes on me, child, on me and only me, that I can lead you daily into eternity? But perhaps you don't like the place you are in, the situation of life you have found yourself in. The dreams that you dreamed have never been realized. There's financial stress, there's sickness. Everything is just such a trial. And where God has placed you at the moment is unpalatable for you. And He seems to be leaving you there. And you're crying out to be released. And you hate your circumstances. And you say, be still. How can I be still? Look at my situation. Look what I'm dealing with. I don't like the place I'm in. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way out. I'm in the bog of despair. I cannot remain here. You need to become still and see things from God's perspective. Trust God. He does know best. Despite all that points to the contrary, there is a God in heaven. Stop lending your ear to the devil. Even where you are at this moment, God reigns. Even if you have to get quiet in the bathroom and lock the door and say, let me just become still and just rest in the fact that God is in control. God sees from above. We see all the tangled weave threads underneath, but God has got a perfect picture from above, the top of the tapestry. God is on the throne. He knows best. Draw closer to Him. Lean on His bosom, even in the place you do not want to be. Now, we were at my parents' home when Glenn was about 9 months old at Christmas time. And Keith and I were in the bedroom, and Roy and Jerusalem decided that this was the time that they were going to teach Glenn to sleep in his camping cot. Now, Glenn is a nice, cuddly baby, something like Austin, you know what I mean? Nice. And he was enjoying the fact that he slept right in between mommy and daddy, you know, nice and warm. Now, they couldn't take Glenn aside. He was 9 months, and explained to him, Glenn, you can't lie between mommy and daddy for the rest of your life. When you're 21, it would be a bit awkward if you're lying between mommy and daddy. So now we have to put you in this camping cot. So they couldn't explain it. They tried to be nice to him, and they put him in the camping cot. Now, Keith and I were down the passage, and suddenly we heard screams. I mean, it screamed. It was like murder. You know, if somebody was being murdered. He sat up in the bed and said, Jennifer, what's going on? I said, don't interfere. But it was, it just was, you couldn't believe the screams. I thought the roof would lift. It was just so bad. And then suddenly, there was silence. Now, I have got a vivid imagination. I could just imagine Glenn has crawled up and he's standing and he screamed, and I stopped screaming, and he's looking at them and saying, I've screamed. I've told you I want to get out. I want to get to the bed. Take me out. Because there was this silence. It was such a heavy, dense silence. And obviously they didn't take him out. We just heard them softly speak, and then suddenly the screams. It was worse screams. And so for I don't know how long it was, we heard screams and silence. In this silence. And I mean, Keith was already ready to go down the passage and say, please take him out. And I was trying to argue, you can't do that. But anyway, eventually, out of sheer tiredness, Glenn fell asleep in the camping cot. But Jerusalem told me with a twinkle, for part of the night he was in the camping cot. But isn't that like us? We scream. We say, Lord, I don't want to be here. Take me out of this situation. But what does God do? He leaves us there. And we don't understand. Like Glenn didn't understand that I can't grow up my whole life sleeping between mommy and daddy. And so we also scream figuratively. But we need to rest in God's wisdom, in His decisions, as poor old Glenn was forced to have to accept his mother and father's decision. Dear Lord, the place that Thou assigned for me to shine for Thee is not the place that I should choose. Wilt Thou not rescue me? Another place, another home, another family. more money and more affluence. I want prosperity. My sickness or my neighbors, the demands on my life, the duties of a mother, the duties of a wife. As teenager, dear Lord, I feel the home too strict for me. So rigid, I feel caged, confined. Another birth for me? My child, my love has placed you there. My love too bids you stay. Within this very place to be, my witness every day. We've got to accept God's wisdom when He leaves us in the camping cot. Now, in the same Christmas holidays, a missionary family came to visit my parents on the farm, and they are going as missionaries to Brazil next year with WEC, I think it is. But anyway, they have got three children, but one of the children is 5 years old, a little girl, and the other one is 3.5 years old. And the father, the missionary father, is very strict, but very loving. And he had the rule that after lunch, these children must go and lie down. And there were two beds on the veranda in my mother's farmhouse, one of those big old square farmhouses. And there were the two beds, and he said, sleep down. And I was so amused to see the different manner of reacting to the father's command. The little boy was quite happy with obeying his father. So he ran down the passage, he jumped onto the bed, he put his hands out and he just lay there, absolutely in bliss. He was immediately asleep almost. I was amazed. But the little girl of 5.5 was not very happy about her daddy telling her to go and rest in the middle of the day. So when she walked down the passage with her stiff little legs like this, and she got onto the bed very unwillingly, and she lay on the bed stiffly, and she had her elbows like this, and she had her head up, and she kept her eyes open, so she didn't sleep. She just lay on the bed there for the whole time, and it was this rigid little, you know. She didn't get off the bed. Her dad had sent her to the bed. She was too scared to disobey her father. But her obedience was a very unwilling and unhappy obedience. Isn't that perhaps a picture of our obedience to God? He's placed us in a situation. We stay in that situation because we wouldn't dare to disobey Him in the situation, but we are unwillingly staying there. We're grudgingly obeying God. We're moaning constantly about life. Or do we react like that other little boy who gladly accepted what his daddy asked him to do and said, it is well. I'm glad. I'm happy to do what my daddy wants me to do. Do I accept God's dealings with joy, knowing that He knows best, even though sometimes His will is hard for me? In conclusion, to the unsaved, to the rebellious, to the backslidden, God cries out, be still and know that I am God. He calls in mercy and love while there is time to repent. But later He will be the judge. And how frightening it will be then to know that He is God. To the Christians, to the old, the young, the mothers, the aunts, the teenagers, the little ones, the adults on the threshold of life, God says, be still and know that I am God, who will strengthen you, who will help you, who has forgiven you or will forgive you, who carries you, who understands, who stills the storms. I am in the boat with you. My love covers you. I am your refuge. I am your help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. Stop in your tracks, O sinner, and know time runneth out. Be still, consider what life is all about. I am the one who's waiting to judge the world one day. While you live, chance for pardon, the cross upon your way. But if you keep resisting, while I your heart would win, you'll meet me at the judgment. Be damned. for every sin. Be still and know, O sinner, that I am God above. Fearful, you'll cringe in terror if you cast off my love. And you, O fearful Christian who walks so timidly, be still, consider that I will carry thee. I'll help you meet each challenge. My strength will strengthen thee. No hill too steep for you, child, if you lean hard on me. Wherever I have placed you is where I too remain, to ease the heavy burdens, to help you bear each pain. Remember when you're praying, I am all powerful. Nothing too hard for me, a child. Is that not wonderful? Be still, for I am God, child, the God who cares for thee. Rest in my love and know that I'll never forsake.